Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Employment Network Payment Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, March 29, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Sean Walcott. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Nicole, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for attending the All EM Payments Call today, Tuesday, March 29, 2016. I'm Sean Walcott, the EM Payments Manager and your host for the call. Joining me in our McLean office is Deborah Tennessee, Ticket Operations Manager. And joining us on the line, behalf of the Social Security Administration, I have Desiree Fitzgerald, Katie Scrivinger, and Natalie Sendeldorfer. Let's begin with our call, and we'll start with our agenda topics for today. We're going to review SEI claims via the portal, the work number when EMs should submit supplemental earnings statement, Code of Federal Regulations, split payments, ticket portal tips and tricks, payment requests, phase one milestones, view payments, and our question and answers forum. So as we begin, we'll start with the self-employment income, SEI. Recently, we have received several inquiries from EMs requesting information about payments related to their SEI beneficiaries. So we are providing you an overview of the SEI payment procedures. A type of earning that can affect how a payment is processed is self-employment income, or SEI. We accept and process payments based on SEI earnings only once SSA posts earnings to their databases. Beneficiaries are considered self-employed if they meet the following criteria. Generate income directly from goods or services they provide customers, clients, or other organizations as opposed to being an employee of a business or person. Do not have tax withholdings from their regular wages and do not pay Social Security taxes. Are the sole owner of their own business or trade or an independent contractor. SEI earnings are usually available to SSA between July and December following the close of the tax year. Please do not submit an SEI payment request for SSA to hold until earnings are available. You can submit payment requests via the ticket portal as shown on the upcoming slides only if the portal indicates that earnings have been established for the claim months for which an EN is requesting payment. If you do not request SEI payments for your ticket clients, SSA will make SEI payments through ePay as the earnings become available. There are two ways to request a payment. Only evidentiary payment requests are being accepted through the portal. Each payment request you submit creates a work case in SSA's system. In this example, the payment request is made by SSN. ENs can now submit their SEI claims via the portal. Now, the portal can access earnings for SEI claims. If ENs receive a message, earnings already proven, the claims will be assessed. If there are no earnings established in the portal, please do not proceed any further. Only one claim month can be entered at a time. Because each payment request automatically creates a work case in SSA's system, if you submit more than one claim month by mistake, the additional months will be deleted and you will not see them in pending payments. The following message is visible to the EN once the established earnings are identified in the database. Please remember, if there are no earnings established in the portal, do not proceed any further. The work number when ENs should submit supplemental earnings statement. This is the next portion of our presentation. A number of ENs use the service of the work number, a third-party service which provides verification of employment and income. In some situations, the service is free. The work number allows requesters to receive immediate confirmation of individuals' employment and salary for verification purposes. The work number collects week-by-week salary information, which is as up-to-date as the last pay period and can go back many years. It also collects the length of employment, job titles, location information, and other kinds of human resources-related information. This service is a useful tool to locate earnings for individuals participating in the Ticket to Work program, to provide documentation when required, which verifies an employee's income and length of employment when that information is not otherwise available. Our next slide shows an example of when a supplemental earnings statement is requested from the EN. Regarding this example, we are not aware of what the date of pay beginning, pay end, or pay date. Without this information, we are prohibited from processing a payment request due to insufficient documentation. As we proceed to the next slide, example number two, no pay period and end date is listed. This is another example of when supplemental earnings statement would be requested from the EN and we are unable to process the payment request. For example number three, in this particular instance, a supplemental earnings statement is not required because the pay period end date and pay date are documented. The information supplied is suitable for verification of earnings to process payment. Our next part of the presentation is effect of SSI beneficiaries' subsequent entitlement to SSDI and EN's payment rate. The Code of Federal Regulations 411.552, what effect will the subsequent entitlement to Title II benefits have on EN payments for Title 16 beneficiaries after they assign their ticket? The regulatory policy clarifies under which program payment rate an EN will receive payments when a beneficiary is entitled initially under SSI and later becomes entitled under both SSI and SSDI, also known as a concurrent status. The rule is as follows. If a beneficiary is eligible for SSI only when we authorize the first EN payment, we will continue to make EN payments at the SSI rate for the remainder of the ticket. If a beneficiary is eligible for SSI and SSDI before we authorize the first EN payment, we will make all payments on the ticket at the SSDI rate. This policy enables staff members to identify the number and the rate of qualifying payments under Title II or Title 16 rules when a beneficiary is concurrent with the maximum number of Phase II milestone and outcome payments. Non-compliance of this policy affects the value of the ticket, so it's imperative for payment staff to understand and adhere to this policy. Our next presentation is on the topic of split payments. In a typical situation, the beneficiary works with a service provider and the provider gets paid a standard milestone outcome or outcome payment based on the service provider's initial selection of payment method. If a beneficiary worked with two employment networks, the payments may be shared among the ENs. This is commonly referred to as a split payment. It is important to note that payments do not increase because they are shared between multiple ENs. State vocational rehabilitation VR agencies that are not acting as ENs are not included in the split payment process. There are a few rules to remember when discussing split payments. First, the EN is eligible for payment. For example, ENA is an outcome-only EN, and ENB is a milestone outcome EN. ENA had the ticket, and ENB now has the ticket. ENB submits a request for a milestone payment. This will not become a split payment until the outcome period is reached because ENA is only entitled to outcome payments. Second, if the beneficiary worked with the state VR agency, the VR agency would have to be acting as an EN. Therefore, the only way a VR agency would get a split payment is if it was being paid as an EN using the outcome only or milestone outcome payment method. How is a split payment generated? Once the case for a split payment has been determined based on Social Security policy, a senior payment specialist will send a possible split payment notice along with an SSA 1401 form. To all ENs that may be involved, the possible split notice will also request ENs that elect to participate in a split payment. To submit service records, identifying services ENs provided the beneficiary. Any EN that wants to be considered for a portion of the payment must also submit a payment request. The EN that initially requested a payment does not need to submit a new payment request. The completed EN payment request, EN payment split form, SSA 1401, submitted to Maximus, indicates you are interested in participating in a possible split payment situation, and would also let us know whether you would like to have the TPM determine the split allocation or whether you or other ENs involved in the split make the determination. The forms must be completed and submitted to TPM within 30 days, or you will forfeit participation in the split payment process. If the TPM is determining the split, the service records will be reviewed and a split payment allocation letter will be sent to be signed and returned by all ENs also within 30 days. When all required documentation is received, the senior payment specialist will process the case for payment. If you disagree with the TPM's determination, you may file an appeal. You can do this simply by returning the split allocation letter to TPM and annotate on the letter you'd like to file an appeal. Social Security staff review and make decisions on split payment appeals. Social Security's decision is final and will send their final decision on the split payment allocation determination to the participant ENs. Payment specialists involved in the case will also receive Social Security's final decision. We're going to proceed now to ticket portal tips and tricks. There are two ways to request a payment. Only evidentiary payment requests are being accepted through the portal. Each payment request you submit creates a work case in SSA's system and automatically goes into a payment specialist's queue. If you know the SSN, navigate to the Request Payment by SSN listed from the main menu screen. Only one claim month can be entered at a time because each payment request automatically creates a work case in SSA's system. If you submit more than one claim month for a Phase 1 milestone, for instance, Milestone 2, 3, or 4, by mistake, the additional months will be deleted and you will not see them in your pending payments. Select the appropriate radio button for the type of payment you are requesting and then click Submit. If Phase 1 milestones are not available for the ticket, you will not see the option to request a Phase 1 milestone payment as shown. If the ticket portal has not identified sufficient earnings to support Phase 1 milestone payments, this may be an instance where payment request was prohibited. Based on findings that Phase 1 milestones restrictions exist for the following reasons. The first would be look-back earnings, and these are earnings prior to the ticket assignment date, and the other instance is the successful SBR closure. If by chance these milestone restrictions are associated in error with the EN, It is the responsibility of the EN to supply information that refutes the claim of Phase 1 milestone restrictions in this case. You will not be prompted to select a Phase 2 or outcome payment number. The system will automatically create a payment request with the next available milestone or outcome. The portal will check to see if there are sufficient earnings in SSA's records to pay this case. If there are sufficient earnings, you do not need to provide evidence. In the example listed, there are not enough earnings, and this will align with reviewing information related to Phase 1 milestone exclusions. If the portal determines that there are sufficient earnings in SSA's records to pay this case, only evidentiary payment requests are allowed in the portal. If there are not enough earnings in SSA's systems to pay the claim, you must submit evidence that the beneficiary is working at the level required for the payment type you requested in the claim month you entered. If you do not have earnings evidence, select the close button to cancel the creation of a payment request. If you do have earnings evidence, select the Yes Radio button under Add Earnings. The ticket holder earnings box will appear. You must complete all fields marked with the asterisk. You can enter up to 25 separate entries. Special characters are not allowed in the employer's name. You do not need to enter earnings more than once. If a pay period overlaps 2 months, for example, January and February, and you have already entered the earnings for the first month, then you do not need to re-enter them for the second month. The earnings will already be in SSA's system. If you have finished entering the earnings information, review payment request to make sure it's complete and correct. When you click on the Submit button, you are automatically creating a case in Social Security's system. You cannot edit or delete your payment request once it's submitted, and there is no additional Are You Sure screen. You will notice there is a checkbox next to the proof of earnings will be faxed in. This automatically generates a fax cover sheet that will associate your earnings evidence with the payment request you are creating in the portal. If you uncheck this box, a cover sheet will not generate. You will need to generate an additional cover sheet to attach the earnings evidence to work the case you create. When you fax in your earnings evidence, either fax or e-fax, your documentation is automatically linked to the work case created in SSA's system. The cover sheet must be on the first page of your fax. The cover sheet is for one-time use only. If you reuse your fax will not go to SSA's system. If you lose or misplace your cover sheet, you may go to the pending payment list and request another cover sheet. You can fax multiple payment requests at the same time, as long as each cover sheet is followed by the associated evidence. SSA's automated process will associate the evidence to the correct payment request. For example, cover sheet 1 will be with evidence 1, cover sheet 2 with evidence 2, so on and so forth. If you do not fax your earnings evidence within 9 business days of your payment request, it will be denied with the reason insufficient documentation. If your e-fax software automatically appends a business cover sheet, you must disable this feature to ensure the barcoded fax cover sheet is the first page of your transmission. The Ticket Operation Helpline is available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Both the Payment Help Desk and the System Support Desk are accessible by choosing option 1 and 2 respectively. The Payment Help Desk is available to answer all your questions regarding payments policy or status under the ticket program, while the System Support Desk has representatives available to assist you with any technological issues you encounter using the ticket portal, questions about ticket assignments, or TPR-related questions. This will complete the presentation portion of our call, and would like to start our question and answer session. Deborah, do we have any questions presented during the chat room feature?
Yes, we had, this is Deborah Chastity. We had quite a few questions on the chat. Let's see, for those of you who are not using the chat today, let me see if I can go back and answer some of these questions. The first question we had was whether or not we were processing auto pay. We no longer have auto pay. It was replaced with e-pay, and we completed our last e-pay file, I believe it was in February. We hope to get a new e-pay file within the next week or two. Someone else asked the question, could they submit with the work number, multiple claim months or multiple periods of earnings with the work number after the fax cover sheet. You can submit, I believe, if Katie's on the line, she can confirm this. I believe you can submit with that fax cover sheet as many documents as you have, as long as that fax cover sheet is the first document, so that when we scan it in, we can attach it to your work case that was established when you submitted your payment request. We have someone who made the statement, a couple people who have even confirmed that this has happened to them, that they have been denied payments even though when they submitted their claims through the portal gave them a response that the earnings were established, but we later denied the payment. That can happen. Let me tell you something about these earnings. They're earnings from many sources. Some of them are monthly earnings that are verified, and those are true earnings for a particular month. Sometimes we have quarterly earnings. Those quarterly earnings, you know, are divided by three to come up with a monthly estimate. Let's say it was $3,000, or we got the indicator that it was like three times, it was SGA for a quarter. Well, let's say a beneficiary could have started working the third month of a quarter. Let's say it was March of the first quarter. They could have earned $3,000 just in that one month. So if we were looking for claims to pay claims for January and February, we would deny those because there were no earnings for that, because Social Security's monthly earnings would have been verified for 1 month for the total amount that was posted for a quarter. We also have what looks like it could be earnings, but we do have indicators sometimes that what looks like wages or earnings from work could actually be benefits. A number of times we see monies that are posted from the Department of, I think it has to do with defense. There are benefits that are paid out by that organization, and we try to identify those even within the portal so the portal won't pick up on those. But there's further analysis of those earnings. So most of the time when the earnings are established, they will be good earnings. But, again, further analysis may reveal that we cannot, those earnings do not suffice. Let me see. This question I think might be for Katie at SSA. This is coming from Pamela. It states, we have Windows 10. When attempting to get the fact sheet, it doesn't allow the fact sheet to be generated. We had to contact our IT person who showed us how to get around it, but would like to know if this is going to be corrected for Windows 10 users.
Hi, this is Katie. We at Social Security actually have not started testing with Windows 10 yet. They are, I believe, the last I heard, they were going to start testing all of our applications with Windows 10 starting this week. So we are looking into it, and if we have to make any adjustments for Windows 10, that will be made with the next opportunity with the release. So we are looking into it. You know, we do try to keep on top of new technology, but as you may know, there are a lot of changes that come out, and we try to keep the application working as the new changes come through. I will ask another, next time I get a chance, I'll ask them where they are with that. I'm actually curious if you can call in, what is the workaround?
Chat question.
Or if you could just type in the chat, I guess, what was your workaround from the IT person? Yeah, I think that would help everybody else. Let people know.
Pamela, could you?
Whatever's easier, typing or talking.
Pamela's written back okay. I guess if she could give us that information at some later time, she'll send it in and we'll get it to you, Katie.
Yeah. If there's a workaround, then I would love to be able to share with everyone.
Pamela just stated she's about to get that information and type it in.
Okay.
Somebody asked a question. Does the fax cover sheet only work for the claim month requested? When you submit a payment request, remember you can only enter one claim month. And with that, a work case is created for that particular claim month. If you have multiple claim months for separate claims, for example, phase twos or outcomes, you need to submit a separate claim for each of those, and then you would generate a separate fact sheet. And the reason, again, for that is if you have to send in evidence, the evidence that you send in with that fax cover sheet is associated with the work case number that goes with your fax sheet. If you send it in anything, first of all, if you send something without the fax cover sheet, it will not come into the portal. We won't get that. It'll go somewhere else. So for each claim that you submit and you're going to submit evidence later, you need to do a separate claim and create a separate fax cover sheet if you're submitting any evidence behind that.
Any more questions from your chat? Where's the presentation?
Print a copy of the presentation. We on your webpage.
Someone wanted to know where they could get a copy of the presentation. You could go to the website, yourtickettowork.com, and go to the event on calendar, and you should see a copy of today's presentation posted there.
Okay.
Any more questions? Okay, Lisa has a question about reference number and manual payment. When you submit a payment request for a manual payment, you do not get a reference number. You're sending in a fax or you're mailing it in. Now, if you've mailed something or if you did fax it in and you don't get any response for that, I'm going to give you the number of the EN, the Provider Health Support Help Desk, and the supervisor's name, because they do have a way of looking up faxes that could be missing in our server. Please contact Janet Cousin, and her number is 703-336-8020.
At this time, I would like to open up our phone lines for our question and answer forum. Nicole, please advise our audience our phone lines are open for any payment-related topics they would like to discuss.
Kate, the person who had a question about Windows 10 for the workaround, She's responded, we had to download to Word, and this generated the document for use. Can that help you?
I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Okay.
Because the original issue was that the fax cover sheet wasn't appearing, I thought.
Yeah.
Nicole, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any questions? Anybody calling in?
As a reminder, in order to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1. We do have a question from the line of John Filippi.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Hello?
Okay, the question, yes, hello. The question that I had was, we have a consumer that was working and then all of a sudden they stopped working and they, find another job to become employed again. Can we immediately start filing for payments on that particular consumer, or is there a waiting period that we must wait before we can be compensated?
When was your ticket assignment date?
Ticket assignment was several years ago. It was about back 2012. But the person was working. We were filing milestones for the person, and now they're on outcome, but they had stopped working, then they went back to work. So we're looking to start filing again for outcome. But I'm wondering, do we have to wait for a certain period, time period, before we can start receiving payments for this consumer?
No, there's no waiting period for that. The first month an EN is eligible to file or receive any payments is the month after ticket assignment. So the month after ticket assignment, you can file for claims any period after that.
Okay, all right. I didn't know because I thought at one time you had to wait an additional 30 days before you can continue to file again.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Got some clarity on it. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1. There are no further audio questions at this time.
While we're waiting, are there any further questions during the chat feature?
This is Ann, who said something as far as the clarification for the other caller. I don't know if this situation existed or not, but what Ann had said is the client's cash benefits will need to stop to start receiving outcome payments, and that is true. When the gentleman asked the question, I assumed that he was eligible for outcome payments. But yes, you have to be in a beneficiary has to be a non-pay or suspense pay status due to work or earnings in order for an EN to be eligible for outcome payments. So for the last caller, if the beneficiary is still receiving a monthly federal cash payment, then no, you cannot receive any outcome payments. May has asked the question, we were receiving automated payments for a filled-out beneficiary, but it's been a while and we have not received any payments and they continue to work. How can we check status on this? Well, what you can do is you can submit a payment request through the portal if you don't have evidence of earnings. If you know what the last payment, type of payment you received was, file for the next one. If they're earning, and if the portal tells you that their earnings, that their earnings available, or that we have record of earnings, I'm not sure right now off the top of my head what the term is. You could go ahead and submit that. The only time you would not be able to submit, or you should not submit that payment request without any evidence, is if you don't get that comment back from the portal that the earnings are available. Because if that happens, then you must at some point enter earnings information, print out a cover sheet, and submit earnings evidence. So I'm taking it that you don't have the evidence. So in the case that you don't, just try to submit the next payment, available payment that you think is due to you through the portal. Let's see. Jennifer Boyer asked, if the client was still a phase one payment and stops working for a period of time, then starts working again, does the payment pick up the next milestone payment where we left off? When it comes to phase one milestone payments, it's tricky. We have a there's a time frame for each phase one milestone. Phase one milestone is 1 month of earnings at trial work level and the beneficiary's in current pay status. For phase one milestone two, the beneficiary must have 3 months of earnings. Excuse me. Yes, 3 months of earnings within a six-month period. So, if we pay a phase one milestone in January, and their trial work earnings, beneficiaries, and current pay, the next phase one milestone two, the earnings requirement is 3 months. But it has to be 3 months within a six-month period. If we paid the first milestone in January, 6 months would be June. So if their trial work levels at earnings in February and we don't see them again into August, you will have to start a recount all over again for your phase one milestone two, where August would be your first month, and within 6 months, if the beneficiary earns trial work level for 3 months within a six-month period, then yes, we would pick up there. The rule for phase one milestone three, it has to be 6 months of earnings in a 12-month period. If it goes outside the 12-month period, we have to start all over again, and you would need 6 months of trial work level. For phase one milestone four, it's 9 months of earnings within an 18-month period. Okay, Linda wrote, if the client sends pay stubs into SSA and not to EN for a client and did not keep copy, how can an EN claim payment for that phase two milestone without evidence? Again, you can submit that request through the portal. If SSA received it, those pay stubs and entered those earnings into the system, we should have them. If, you know, if it's pretty recent, for example, we're in the month, getting ready to go into the month of April. And let's say an EN, a beneficiary submitted to SSA their pay stubs for March. So in April, you're looking for a phase two milestone payment covering March, and you don't see anything. Well, if you wait a little while, the quarterly earnings should post, and at some point, we should get that earnings in the system. So, you know, it may not be right away, but, you know, at least if you keep submitting your payment request after we update our quarterly information, you may see it then. Are there any ENs out there that have consumers who are on the bond project that I can contact to ask some questions? No one seems to be able to tell us how we can get paid for those consumers. This came from Lisa. This is how bond projects work. You have bond beneficiaries and you have bond participants. In order for you to get paid under the bond project, it must be a bond beneficiary. And what that means by that is Social Security has performed a work CDR and has placed, even though the beneficiary is getting a reduced benefit, there's an offset that is processed. And once we see that that offset is processed, you will be eligible to receive outcome payments even though the beneficiary is in current pay status with a reduced benefit. So it's not until that offset is applied or worse CDR is processed, that we can pay you for these outcome claims. But again, it must be a bond beneficiary versus bond participant. Is there may be a reduced benefit for a bond participant, or they may participate in the program, but not until that work CDR is performed would they be be eligible for outcome payments. I'm looking at this question from Lori. I want to read it out loud because I'm not sure if I understand it. She writes, I would like to confirm the process. If we have a client who successfully completed through phase one milestone two but was unable to work within the 18 months for phase one milestone four parameters, he returned to work successfully, but we are being denied as we did not bill for phase one milestone three nor phase one milestone four as he was clearly not eligible. Do we go ahead and bill for these last two phase one milestones, receive a denial, and then rebuild under phase two milestones? We continue working with him throughout the time he was not working. Okay. What I just said to you, and we do, I believe, have something out there on the website, which we call a payments checklist, where this might make more sense. You have to do the recount. And another important thing is that payments have to be made in order. You cannot bill for a phase one milestone four before you've received a phase one milestone three, only if that phase one milestone three was an exclusion due to look back earnings. So if it wasn't an issue of look back earnings, you must be billed for phase one and get paid for phase one milestone one, phase one milestone two, and then a phase one milestone three. Now, I don't know how long it was before the beneficiary returned to work because he may have gone past that time frame where he would have been eligible to receive a phase one milestone three, which is 6 months within a 12-month period from when the first milestone was paid. So if you want to send that case to me, I can take a look at it and get back to you. This is Deborah Tennessee, and you can send this to me at D-E-B-B-R-A. E, middle initial E, T-E-N-N-E-S-S-E-E at maximus.com, and I will look into that for you. Okay. That's all I see on the chat. Does anybody else have anything on the call?
We do have audio questions. The first question comes from the line of Jenny George.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi there. Guess we're having fun. What I wanted, I just really wanted to sort of express a concern. In looking at this year's funding compared to last year's funding through via Ticket to Work, it appears that we're going to be down quite a bit. And I was just typing a question asking if there were going to be any reconciliation payments. It seems like the payments are not coming in like they did in the last, I've only been with this program 3 years, and it just concerns me. I mean, I work for a workforce, so we have other funds coming in that can, well, pay for my position, actually. But it just concerns me that it looks like the money is not coming in as readily as the past 3 years.
Are you talking about outcome payments?
Yes, Ticket to Work payments, yeah.
And it makes sense, and I can tell you why. Last year, we stopped auto pay. Under
mm-hmm.
the pay process, we automatically pay EN based on consistent earnings over a period of time, a prior period, not earnings that were posted for the current attainment month. So, for example, if we saw that a beneficiary had earnings, and right now we're in April, and I can see that for the last two quarters, there were quarterly earnings that were above trial work level if we did a monthly estimate. and we didn't have any information showing the beneficiary was getting unemployment. And even though that might have been 6 months ago, we were paid current month. Under the new process, we are making payments only if those earnings are established for the current payment month or any month in SSA system. So if there are no earnings in SSA systems, and if you're not submitting evidence for whatever payment month you believe you should be getting, you're not getting paid.
I do understand that. I really do.
And so you're getting less outcome payments, then you're not going to get a reconciliation payment as you were in the past. Because we were, on a regular basis, you were getting outcome payments for your beneficiaries who were in suspense and who had SGA consistent earnings.
Okay, yeah, I do understand that. I really do. Okay, so, you know, I've had, and it was on the chat, a couple instances where it said earnings were established, and then I submitted a request for payment, and then I got an email saying, you know, I needed to submit the pay stub. So, I'm in a quandary. You know, I submit a request, it gets denied, and I just, you know, concerned. I mean, I'm with a workforce agency, but if there are some, you know, private nonprofits out there, and if there are similar kind of issues with money coming in, then the long-term picture concerns me, you know, how are they going to stay afloat? So it's just a concern.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, to ask an audio question, please press star 1. We have another question from the line of Lisa Purdy.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. In regards to the question I asked about the bond consumers,
yes.
Our local Social Security office will not even touch the work CDRs and say most of them that we talk to, because we have about 5 or 6 field offices here that we deal with. And every single one of them, you know, tell us, oh, you know, we don't touch any of those, go to Bond. Then Bond tells us go to Maximus, and Maximus tells us to go to Social Security. So we get conflicting answers on how to. And it's mostly, obviously when they're in their trial work period, we don't have any problems getting paid. It's the ones when they go into the offset part and they're still receiving, you know, like you said, half of that, you know, money still.
Well, actually, I see why the local Social Security offices give you the information, because they don't work with Bond CDR. There's a special component that works with those. Maximus does not work with CDR. Maximus makes the payment based on the information that's posted to Social Security system. So we have to wait to see that those offset indicators are posted before we can actually make the payment. But the field offices aren't the ones who work those CDRs, so I understand, why they're referring it to someone else.
Well, is there someone at Bond that you know of that I could call and contact regarding these? And I mean, because also now that we're worrying about, you know, the bond project is going to be ending soon. So, like, for example, I have a consumer who's on the bond project we haven't gotten paid for in 3 years.
Okay. Desiree, could you answer that?
Well, it may work in your favor that the bond project is ending, because it will require folks to have a work CDR coming out if they didn't have one while they were in bond. If the work CDR hadn't been done and you were waiting for it, them coming out of bond will cause a work CDR to happen.
Okay, so all of those cases when the bond project ends, they will be transferred to the local SSA offices to catch up on all of those benefits.
I don't know all the details, but I do know that, more than likely it will go to the local place, but the policy is that they will have to get a work CDR.
Okay, so we just have to wait till that work CDR is completed in the local office.
Yeah, And once it is, then we'll be able to see in our system and if your payments are due under ePay, they would even be processed under that, or you would continue to go to the portal. If you have work, of course, you would do that initially if you had the earnings for the outcome payments. But, at any rate, it sounds like you may get some relief with the work CDR coming up.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll just hold tight. It gets a little longer then. Thank you.
Teresa had a question in the chat. Can you repeat that about the reconciliation payments again? What I basically said in response to one of the callers' questions, it seems as though who was workforce, seems that they're getting less outcome payments and are we still processing reconciliation payments? And actually, with the new ePay process, we're really making payments on time now, whereas before we were prematurely making payments where the earnings were not in SSA systems for a particular attainment month. So now we're waiting for those earnings either to be posted there or for evidence to come in. So you're not getting your outcome payments every month like you were when we were under the old auto pay process, because you were getting them faster every month. Then you got your you got to outcome 12 a lot faster, and you got your reconciliation payments faster. Now because we are waiting until the earnings are there, really doing basically what the regs say, we're making the payments when the earnings are there, it's going to take a while because I think we stopped auto pay back in May or June last year, and we may have paid you up until May last year outcome payments based on earnings, consistent earnings from, let's say, the December before then. So we had to catch up to any, like either the quarterly earnings or whatever it is for the current period before we can actually, make those payments. So right now we're in April, and if the quarterly earnings is 6 months behind, that's what we're paying you, unless some other evidence are coming in some other way. Okay, I think, any more callers?
I'm showing no further audio questions at this time.
Okay. I'd like to thank Deborah, Katie, Desiree, and Natalie for providing insight and clarity for the questions presented today. I'd also like to note, as a reminder, the TPM provides an opportunity to all ENs to discuss payment-related topics on the last Tuesday of each month during the All EN Payments call at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The full transcript and audio for the All EN Payments call are available on the Ticket to Work website under the Events and Archives section. We encourage our EN community to take part in the call sessions. The next All EN Payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, April 26th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This will conclude our presentation for today. Thank you all for listening, your attention, and participation during the call. Please have a great evening, and we look forward to our next presentation on April 26th.